2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Welcome back to A Woman's View here on KSL News Radio. My wonderful guest this week, Gaynalyn Condi, is with me, author and speaker and host of The Middle Real Talk. Andrea Jensen is here, asthma program coordinator with the Utah County Health Department. And Kathy Aiken is with me, sports broadcaster with KSL Television for so many years and my friend and founder of the Forget Me Not Project. And we're hearing in the news so much about the drought. We're hearing about things we should do, and we're hearing about the Hoover Dam, Lake Powell being so low. It's dangerous for boaters. They go out, they might hit, you know, some kind of something sticking out of the water. And of course, the governor encouraged us all to say prayers for, and then he was criticized for that. I don't know. I need some wisdom. Can I start with you, Andrea, on this topic? How do you understand what we're going through?
Well, this is really catastrophic. I mean, this goes back to the 70s, the last time that we were this bad. And you know, it's turned, once again, like everything else, turned into a political debate of, is there global warming, is there climate change? And obviously there is. But, you know, one thing we need to look at is Jed Bull did a fabulous story last night about water conservation. And we have been looking at this for quite some time about how to make our landscaping more water-wise. And you know, it's not all or nothing. And that was our thing. Oh, I don't want to rent a sod cutter and have to cut out all the sod. Well, you don't have to do that. So he shared a resource, and it's Localscapes. I was on their website, so excited. They have plans that you can download. And it's not taking out the entire lawn. It's maybe having a central area and having landscaping around it that's water-wise with drip systems. So
hold on. Say that again. Localscapes?
Localscapes. It's all one word. So I pulled up the website. They have plans that you can download and use, and it can be for any size yard. And they show that where you can have areas where you can have activities. If you have grandkids or little kids, whatever, there's an area where you can have for playing. There's a place where you can put a patio or a gazebo. There's activity areas. And then in the center part is the grass. But on the outside, you're strategically planting trees that will shade your home. My home, I swore I would never buy another east-west facing home. I'm on my third one that's east and west facing. And so we planted trees when we moved in years ago to make sure that, you know, that that's helping to shade it. And when you're using these drip systems that will just water the plants, you're not going to be watering the weeds. So it's not an all or nothing. I'm really excited. And I sent the link to my husband and I said, look at this. You know, here's some great plans, because I'm not a landscape architect, but the plans are there. Take them and run with them. And it's all plants that work in Utah and that work for us with the drought that we're going through.
Okay, maybe we won't get into an argument if I send them that website and just say it doesn't have to be all or nothing. We could try something in the middle. What do you think, Gaynalyn?
You know, my husband, I told him we were talking about this and he almost wanted to take my spot, which he doesn't get to because he's not a woman on The Woman's View, but he is obsessed with always in a drought or out of a drought, watching the water tables. So he's like been wringing his hands over this. And I will say we've gone through a lot of job loss and employment upheaval in the last 10 years. And we just got to add to what Andrew was sharing in the previous segment, our pergola put up last year in our backyard finally in. And I'm so grateful to have a fully landscaped front yard and backyard because of the unemployment and the financial stressors that took a long time. So for many years, we were helping with the drought water table by just controlling the weeds, and we had no lawn. And I'm really grateful for it now. I will say that I don't feel like I have a solution other than I always feel that when we each do a little, it helps. And I think it's really sad to me to see discouraged comments towards the governor that's asking for people of faith to use that as one thing to do. You know, it's not just changing your landscape. Maybe it's how you change your water system, but it also to me is a matter of prayer as well, because I'm a person of faith that in prayer we're given inspiration to know how to solve problems.
It's not just prayer, it's prayer and works.
Yes, that yes.
You have a
yes.
thought. During the prayer process yes. or afterwards, oh, I can do this.
Yes, I really believe that in my faith, I'm a Christian, so God is allowing me to have certain stewardships. And to me, our land and our world is a stewardship that we each have. And my little corner of it in Lehi is my little stewardship. And when we pray, I believe that God wants to direct us over our stewardships. And so I do believe in the power of united prayer, but I also hope that we're all listening to, instead of just talking to God, to see what he says to us, particularly on how we can help a big problem like this.
Yeah. Kathy, what do you think?
Yeah, amen to Gaynelin's comments on faith. We certainly have to do our part. I think, Amanda, I certainly am not an expert in this, but I know I raised my boys to not take really long showers, to turn off the water in between brushing their teeth. It's little things like this that I think every one of us, if we just do the small things, can really make a difference. And another thing that just really frustrates me is when you go by a big park and it's 100 degrees outside and the sprinklers are on at noon and you're going, okay, certainly you understand that that's not going to work. I mean, that's going to, how much of that's going to evaporate and not be worth anything? It may, big businesses at homes, it's very simple things like please water in the middle of the night, don't water as much. And I think if we all do this together and understand this is a very, very serious problem, when you realize we are the fastest growing state in the country, we have so many people moving into the state, you're going, where is this water going to come from? So I think if we just do the small things like and being smart on if we're washing our dishes or you're or something and you've got the water on, just turn it off while you're putting this glass away or you're brushing your teeth, turn off the water before you rinse. I mean, it's really, it's a concerted effort by all of us. I mean, we are all in this together. And if we don't do something about it, it's going to be very frightening.
I think the lesson of 2020 for me was you don't always know what you need to appreciate until you don't have the opportunity to have the experience. And I think it's always a great wake-up call, sometimes a hard lesson learned, that we have taken some things for granted. And I don't have solutions, but I'm grateful we're having the conversation.
Yes, which means I have to ask this one quick question before we break, which is, since we are in a fire danger year, like no other perhaps, can we agree about fireworks?
Yes. I'll say yes.
Yes. Yes. All three yes?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because not only did my son end up in ICU and almost die one year because of this smoke from the neighborhood fireworks because of his asthma, I also have a friend whose house burned down because someone around her was lighting off illegal fireworks and started, she had wood shakes, shingles, started her house on fire and it burned down.
So what do you say? I've got 60 seconds. Someone speak to the person in your neighborhood who, for them, this is a big family deal. And every year they have family together and they light off fireworks and they don't want to be deprived of this big family connection.
You know, this is something that impacts us. We moved into this new area and they do the cul-de-sac of fire and it's beautiful, but I can't go outside. I'm literally trapped in my home all night and have all the air cleaners going. But, you know, there are alternatives of seeing the city fireworks. Every city does them. And then a lot of big places are doing drones. They do these fantastic light shows with drones. You can get the little necklaces and bracelets, the glow-in-the-dark necklaces and bracelets and the little tubes. Give those to kids. Let them run around. Give them little lightsabers, let them have light fights. You know, there's other alternatives we could do that isn't going to damage our lungs
and risk so much. We'll take another break and be back with my wonderful guest this week on A Woman's View. Stay with us, don't go away.